this feeling of strangeness, because the emptiness and the weight of the silence, the immobilization of everything, and immobilization is one of the sign of the traumatic situation in the psychic life. We can think about the dream of the Wolfman.
Welcome to the IPA podcast. For those of you who have been listeners to the past 40 episodes of this podcast series, you know that we've been focusing on analysts who bring their clinical skills to venues outside of the consulting room, hence the name psychoanalysis on and off the couch. Given that we are all facing together a crisis of unfathomable proportions, we're going to be changing the focus of our podcast. We are going to be interviewing psychoanalysts from all corners of the globe to discuss with them how their local communities are coping with this situation, how their clinical work has been affected by this situation, and also how the internal worlds of both the analyst and the patient have been impacted by this virus, as it impacts both our real fears and our imaginary fears. We're going to encounter not only uncertainty and fear, but we're also going to learn great wisdom, gifted empathy, and hope. We'll be maintaining the title of this podcast, both as a testament to our past work and as a placeholder for our future work. I hope you find these conversations both informative and sustaining. Feel free to write comments on our webpage, IPAoffthecouch.org. Thank you. Welcome to today's podcast. I'm Harvey Schwartz, and my guest today is Dr. Bernard Chervet. Dr. Chervet is a psychiatrist and a full member and training psychoanalyst at the Paris Society for Psychoanalysis. He's been very active in the Paris Society, where he served as president. He's also served as the scientific secretary of the Congress of the French-speaking Psychoanalysts. He's a member of the European Group for the IPA Encyclopedic Dictionary, member of the task force of the IPA and constituent organizations, member of the Freudian Legacy Task Force, and I can go on and on. He's devoted his life to not only institutional analysis, but as we will hear, deep clinical analysis. He has won awards, just to mention one. In 2017, he won the Maurice Beauvais Award, and he's widely published. He's published more than 240 articles, chapters, papers, books, with a special focus on metapsychology. As you will hear in our conversation today, Bernard has a deep commitment to understanding the mind of his analysts, which is common to most all psychoanalysts. He does it in his French way. He brings theory to bear. He brings a deep understanding of the past and the present and how they relate to each other. And he adds something that I would advise everyone to pay attention to. I know I learned from it. His sense of latency has a particular meaning to him. His sense of latency in the mind of the analyst and to give pause when one is overwhelmed by trauma, and the role of the analyst as a facilitator of that latency. The role of the analyst through the analyst's own relation to their own mind, and the role of latency as the analyst is able to share with the patient the analyst's interest in their mind, that creates a capacity to pause and to wonder and to reflect and get perspective. I hope you find it as useful and as fascinating as I did. Here's my conversation with Dr. Bernard Chervet. Bernard, welcome to the podcast. It's a pleasure to have you with us. Bernard, the current situation brings to mind an old situation in America. In the States, here in the 1970s, we started seeing a number of severely symptomatic individuals who were combat veterans from Vietnam. And the mental health field, in response to these severely troubled patients, divided itself into two camps. The first camp privileged the role of childhood trauma as contributing mostly to these current situations. And about childhood trauma, there was usually an abundance of evidence in the lives of these combat veterans. And another camp privileged the role of the actual combat trauma as responsible for their current difficulties. And that too, there was an abundance of evidence supporting how powerful and terrible the trauma they suffered were. And each of the two camps felt that the other camp really didn't understand the essential nature of the patient's difficulty and the essential nature of the patient's pains. Well, that was a number of decades ago, and I think it's fair to say that the field has matured such that we now appreciate that both factors are always involved. This takes us back to Freud's complemental series, where somebody with severe childhood trauma is very susceptible to adult trauma, and somebody with overwhelming adult trauma needn't have a disturbed childhood to be overwhelmed by that adult trauma. So here we are now. It is not in combat. We are not being shot at, and we are not shooting people. It's an important difference. And yet there are similarities. There are similarities of anxiety. There are similarities of loved ones dying. There are similarities of unknown dangers. And patients present to us, not to mention our own concerns. And our ears have to be attuned in particular ways. Are they especially attuned to the adult trauma that we're all suffering? Are they attuned also, and in what way, to the childhood situation that we all have in our lives somewhere? And there's a tension between the two. And then, of course, there's the transference, which we will get to as well. Bernard, I know you have thought a lot about this and have written about this. Can you share with us your current understanding? And then we'll talk about the clinical revelation of these understandings. Your understanding of how you listen to patients when both are present, current trauma and past trauma.
Yeah, thank you very much. Good morning to you also. Pleased to meet you. And a pity that we will not meet in New York as we planned at the end of April, but all our trips had to be canceled. So it's a difficult situation. I had by myself to cancel the French-speaking psychoanalyst congress planned in Jerusalem on next May, and many other activity. Yeah, but currently our worries and concerns are turned toward our health and that of our families and patients and the health of the people in the world. And I was very sensible to your introduction, because the war neurosis modified in the 1917-1918, modified fundamentally, had a great role in the Freud's works, and he had to write beyond the principle of pleasure before that, on the function of the traumatic dimension, the traumatic feelings, and it changed all the theory of the dream and all the theory of the psychoanalysis of the psychic life. So it was very important to connect with this actuality of this path of the U.S. also, because for Freud it was the path, the first World War in Europe. Okay, first I will speak about the current context, the affective and emotional mood in France, several words if you want. Yeah. Secondly, we could speak about the awaken in all of us, so the patient and the analysts, of the traumatic neuroses you refer to. Thirdly, after we could speak about analytic work a bit, the session, the remote session, which are not at all the remote analysis. And if you want, at the end, we can just evoke some clinical material. I prepared for a small piece, but we can use one or two and not all. But it will be very small piece to illustrate my thoughts, my development. Yeah.
Sounds good.
Yeah, thank you. The context. So we are confined in France since now almost 4 weeks. It's there is a gap in the times of the spread of the virus. So we are not at the same state in east part, in China and in Europe and in America, South America, Africa, the spreading is different and the effect is different. The atmosphere of the French city and countries is dominated by the fear and the threat. When we open our windows, when we have a walk in the street, the small walk, because it is forbidden at the moment. We have to have an attestation, a special attestation to can walk outside. We feel the strangeness. I want to emphasize on this feeling of strangeness. Because the emptiness and the weight of the silence, the immobilization of everything, and the immobilization is one of the sign of the traumatic situation in the psychic life. We can think about the dream of the Wolfman. The strangeness mixes the two faces. On one hand, the void creates an aesthetic effect for me. What a beauty when we are in these streets, very empty. On the other hand, we feel a fear for it. What a great disappearance. What a desert. What happened? Where are all the people? And are they all lost? It's a great feeling of the lust and the disappearance. So also of the mourning and the pain, the moral pain, the moralistic pain. I don't remember how you say the moral pain, I think. We recognize all the places when outside, but all of them are very familiar and they are not the same the one we used before. They seem foreign ones. The feeling of loss is very, very convocated. So it's this very strangeness. It's important. And the other level, the other aspect of the atmosphere is the high level of deprivation of the freedom. We are deprived of the freedom to move, to meet, to continue our activities, to fulfill projects, and so on. Just before going to our work, I want to tell some words about the social context, of the political context, which is important because it belongs to the material of the patient inside the session. The current situation is the one of a break of a Daniel. It reveals that we previously shared a denial of the risk that new major epidemics could ravage humanity. All the 20th century in Europe was focused on the not to repeat what happened in the First and the Second World War, and the great number of deaf because the human people and the wars. So we were, I think in Europe especially, we were focused on this aspect. And in the same time, we have a denial.
The denial, you're saying, yes.
Yes, a denial we deny the reality of the epidemic possibility. We lived as if the medicine cover and protect us definitively of all this old illness in the past. Even the we knew intellectual, by the way, the intellectual way, we knew that the seasonal flu exists, and we knew that in several parts of the world, epidemic exists, but we thought that it was not possible in our countries.
You know, just an interesting comment on that. It is now emerging that
yes. You're
right. You and I and most civilians around the world were in denial about this. But
yes. There
were significant numbers of people in the various intelligence communities who were well aware of this as a risk and had written about it not only in this past year, which is becoming a scandal, but 8, 9, 10 years ago, they predicted just this type of pandemic with just this kind of coronavirus. So, yes, we operated under a protective denial that may have served us well, but some did not.
Yeah. So the context, the social context, is very impressed by insecurity and uncertainty. It's the main feeling of the people of the patient and all the people. Also because the virus, the new virus, is not known at all. There is a great ignorance about this, and the illness also is not, and the dangers of this illness are not well known, so it's important. There is a gap between the speed of the spread and the speed of the discoveries of the scientists. It's important also. The health policy of each country are not the same and are not prepared. In France, it's very, very obvious that the last 20 years deny this possibility because all the precautions which exist 20 years ago did not exist 5 years ago. The danger was decreases. The precautions were decreases. So it's very important context. Another part of the context is the news in the media with the high level of information from some very interesting and have fake news, but all of them are put at the same level. And also the news given by the governments are not the same, and the strategy which are followed by each government are not the same in the different countries. So it deal to have this feeling of insecurity and uncertainty. So, okay, I think it's very important to explain the traumatic neuroses in which we are at the moment. I come now to this page or this aspect of the traumatic neuroses, which is very solicited at first in each of one, as our patient and the analyst too. It's very important to think we are in the same way at the moment. And we will need a second time to refine the logic of what we name in Europe, we love it a lot, the après coup, but it's not because we have not we don't use this word at the same way, in the same meaning, in English countries or English psychoanalysis that we don't follow the same logic. Sometimes we don't use the same words, but I think the logic are very important, more important than the words in this kind of thinking. Currently, we live in the first time of the après-coup, of the psychic process named the après-coup. It is the traumatic stage of this psychic process. Après-coup is a two-stage process, and the two-stage process are separated by a period of latency with the psychic work, which is made in the background of our psychic life. And the French analyst, Osmi, pay a lot of attention of the reappearance of the dream, because this work of the latency appear in the dream, is made during the dream, during the sleeping, inside the dream, or thanks to the dream, and it is possible to repair it by the way of the dream. An important part of this work is made during the sleeping. Okay. The more important difficulty is to let come the latency at the time and with our patient, because the illness is increasing, continue to be present. So we stay in the first time of après-coup, and we can't, it's very difficult to let come the latency and the simple daily denial. We need to sleep and to rest, and to think with our patient that they need latency. We have to think they need latency. So it's very complicated, because the traumatic neurosis deal to speak all the time about the current situation, and we know when we listen to them that they have also to rest and to put in latency the current situation, and that the aim of our work or the goal is to forget the trauma in the simple way that we don't ignore it, but we don't think always all the time to it.
Is there something about the role of the analyst processing the patient that creates this possibility of latency?
Yes, it's for me it's very important, and we have to find the balance between the current situation, the current traumatic situation, the memories of the trauma in the childhood. We will speak about that after, and also with the possibility to let come the latency, because there is several balance to have with our patient. And at the moment, we feel more than in the usual situation, the difficulty to can respect these balances.
Yes.
So the investment will find again their place, the other investments, and the dream will success to fulfill wishes, but not at the moment. We will see with the piece of the clinical pieces I wrote, we could see the difficulty to pass, and how all the material of the dreams are linked with the traumatic situation. Trauma will be able to be dissimulated and to be found afterward by the way of interpretation. The erotic desire also is not to be excluded of the thinking of the analyst. It's important to think that the drives and the presence of the drives can use the situation to find, to dissimulate and to find their way of realization. And it's important to not be only fixed to the narcissistic and the dangers for the narcissism, but also to keep away for the future to the erotic possibility of erotic desire will be free again. Yes. At the moment, during traumatic state, some patient can be for some patient, the desire can be alive, but very often as a reply to fear, an attempt to calm and to stop the traumatic state. Everything is linked with this fear and threat.
Can you give us an example of how this lives in the treatment and in the relation between you and the patient?
Yes, I think it's better than to separate too much. I can tell just a situation. I will not develop the clinical situation. I will just focus on this aspect.
Let me just make an announcement. Some people have been concerned that we're speaking about clinical material in obviously not a confidential forum. Please understand that the cases you hear on these podcasts are not actual cases of people. They are composites so that people won't identify themselves because obviously we are sensitive to confidentiality. And I just wanted to make that reminder as I have in the past again.
Okay, but I transform them to respect the confidentiality.
Sure. No problem.
The situation one, for example, I will have another after, which is beyond the principle of pleasure, but I will stay in the more demonstrative one. It's a retired woman. She was a doctor. Her dream. I am a doctor, a very sick friend, very serious. I have to treat him. I know it's impossible. This friend who knows medicine looks at his medical exams, his scanner and his X-rays, and he does not see his condition. He interprets, fails all the clinical signs and everything we tell to him. I am very afraid of this situation of not wanting to know anything. After she is in a special situation because she lived in France just a week before the confinement, and she can't come back in France. She is always in a foreign country because it's not possible to fly. So it's a special situation. So her association and work during the session. This woman went away on holiday 1 week before the confinement. She can't come back in France. In her dream, she is working, so she is not retired, and she is in France. So the first level. She lived great difficulties with her husband when she was married and they divorced. In the dream, the man don't understand anything. She very often told this kind of sentences about previous husband. Okay, the second level. The third level, her first husband was a doctor also. He suicided when she was a young woman after 1 year of marriage. Yes. In the dream, the man is ill, but he's living. So it's very important. We can observe that she give life to the people who are deaf. She is a doctor, but she realived some people who were deaf. Yes, who dead.
Who died.
Thank you. Another level. She was the only child of her parents, and she always thought and repeat during the session that they did not pay attention at her. And particularly on her psychic life and to her suffering. They took care of her somatic body, but not her psychic life. She was misunderstood. And of course, it's very, very present in the transfer. Even I receive her by phone and continue her session by phone. We can think it's a part of the current transferences, but because she is isolated in a foreign country, she is far and she can regret, but the analyst and the analysis on the France keep her far from home. We arrived at the end of the masochism state with the situation of we know very well, which is convoked in this dream, and the situation of a child is beaten, the well-known article, a child is beaten. So to try to cover the difficulty of the illness and the impossibility to care and to cure both. And she convocate a masochism situation as a child is beaten, and the double physical and moralistic pains. Yes.
If you were to summarize your understanding of what the dream and her associations to the dream, how that helped you understand how she is encountering this current difficulty, and how that speaks to not only her past, but her present relation with you, how would you summarize that? I'm sorry to put you on the spot with that, but I thought it might be useful to capture how the dream, how the present, how the past, and how your relationship with each other come together.
I tried to give the several levels of the times in the actuality, in the current situation, the past as adult, the past of children, and the situation, the answer to the situation, all this situation is you have to beat me. And it's I preferred to be beaten than to have to feel in the unpleasure of this situation. It seems it's a call to the masochism.
Yes, it's a masochistic solution to the uncertainty and yes. fears
yes.
of the current situation, both in her childhood and in the current pandemic.
Yes, so we can continue after this aspect. So I just to resume, to have a summary of these words about the traumatic neurosis inside the session. The main conflict and the main attention for me is about the latency, the balance about latency and denial. But because both have their place, but the best is that both can find their place in a balance between one and the other, and not only one, and not only Daniel. And I think that in this condition, the analyst is the guardian of this latency and of the link between the current experience and the memories. It's the second aspect. The third aspect, we can speak about just some words, because I heard many analysts told that the The invulnerability of the analyst is a break in this situation, and the idealization is also break, and it could prevent the possibility to continue analysis. So in it is a reality. The patient has more than usual how we are about our health. So it's important. It's a way of the idealization. But I think the asymmetry of the situation of the analysis is conserved because the analyst pay attention to this balance between latency, denial, between current experience and memories. I think it's the way to keep the asymmetry situation because I think the asymmetry situation is the condition to improve the transference or to increase the transference, to keep the transference alive. And this transference is very important to keep it alive, to continue the analysis and continue to have new material and to develop the psychic life of our patient.
I'd like to emphasize what you're saying because I think it's easily lost when both analyst and analysand are facing the anxieties of the current moment. It's easy to emphasize how unique that is and how the same we are. But in fact, an important difference that you're pointing out is that the analyst's intention to understand the patient, the analyst's orientation to listen to unconscious processes and conflicts, that is what maintains an asymmetry for the purpose of the benefit of the patient. And that should never be lost. Even as we live with our own anxieties, our goal, our purpose for being in that session at that moment is to understand the patient's experience. And they receive that. If we do that, they receive that. And that facilitates the work deepening, in my experience.
Good. I fully agree. Okay. Now, about the remote session, some words, and after, if you want, we will have, if you can stop me to have another example in the path. About the remote session, I want just to underline that it's not at all remote analysis. It's a remote session because we are obliged. They are imposed to us. We have no other choice. We can continue to receive our patient in our office, but it will be a great danger for everybody. We can stop all our activity, and we have no real other choice than to do remote session. So it's not, I want to keep a great difference between the remote session which are imposed to us and the remote analysis as a choice. And it's not the time, I think, to think more about the remote analysis at the moment. And it's not my worries or my concerns. Okay. So agreed. I want to continue with the setting. It's very important for me to link what is loss of the usual setting and what is win in the new ones. And I think both aspects has to be keep. I give a great importance of what is loss of the usual setting. So it's the more important for me. And I think also very concrete aspect that we do remote session because it's our work, it's our profession, and we don't hide to ourselves that it's a way to win our money, and the we can be worried about that, as the patient are worried about the risk to lose their work themselves and to can't pay their session. There is a reality, a business reality, a financial reality, which is in latency of the session, and it's important to take it in account too. Yeah. And the differences introduced by the change of sitting inside the session are those between the perception and the representation. We have not in the same condition for the analyst, his perception and representation change, for the patient too, about the session. We will speak more if you want, with some deprivation for analyst and for the patient. I think also the intensity can be convoked, the intensity of the sound some patient use more than in the usual session. They use the voice and the sounds, and they speak more, and they speak more loud, and they try by the intensity to reply to the lack of the other ways of the ways they lost about the session, the fact they don't see at all, they don't hear at all, they don't, of course. So there is a focalization on the sounds and on the voice, but for the analyst, it's important because he is in presence of the void in the office. No patient on the armchair, no patient on the couch. The miss of the body presence, he misses the body presence of his patients.
There's a loneliness that we all feel. Bernard, before we go, I do want to ask you, there's a shift in focus. Your vibrant involvement in the work is palpable, and to stay on your phrase, very audible, it's very present. Can you share with us, in addition to that, what you personally find sustaining during this difficult time for all of us? What is it that, where's your libido? As we struggle with the lonelinesses and the emptinesses around us that are both, as you point out, aesthetically pleasing, but also devastating at the same time.
Yes, I think I use the aspect of the office I never use or very, very few use in the usual situation, the observation of the patient about my office. And in this time, I use them. And I use that, I can hear that some aspect, they miss some aspect. A patient spoke about a painting, and in front of my couch, there is a painting. And as I was hearing to her, it was not mine, but it was so nearby, and she don't thought of, she don't made the link. I told her that this painting, she was missing this painting, and she had a great warm feelings. I can't tell that, but it's very important. Yes, I miss a lot, and of course the painting and the feeling about the painting could be extend on all the office and the presence of the analyst, of course.
And so it's locating the life enhancing affects in our patients, and by extension in ourselves. That's what keeps us alive and vibrant and hopeful for a future that will, I don't know about return to normal, but we'll return to something less empty for us.
Yeah, and in the same time, we can we don't have to forget that the opposite is also right, because the negative irrational transference is very, very convoked in this situation against the governments, against everybody, against the parents' imago, the mother imago, the father imago, the analyst, of course, and the analysis as also the imago with the possibility to have a very hard feeling of distrust in it. It's very important for me.
As you say, our ability to sustain it and to provide a space of latency with which these negative feelings can be understood and processed and evolved from is really the gift that we try to offer our patients.
Absolutely.
Bernard, I want to thank you for spending this time with us. Your perspective, I don't know if it's fair to call it a French perspective, because I don't know how much of it is French and how much of it is Bernard's, but it is very refreshing. It is different. It is different not only because your accent is different, but because your mind thinks in a very fresh, creative, alive way. And as a colleague, I learn every time I hear you. We share these meetings together every so often, and it's a pleasure for me. And I hope our audience gets the same sense of pleasure in hearing you as well.
I can thank you a lot, yes, for this exchange on our work. Yes, very good, of course.
All my best. Stay safe.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you for listening. If I may, I'd like to ask you to help us publicize our podcast by rating us on iTunes or simply sharing it with a friend. You can also visit our webpage, ipaoffthecouch.org, where you can both subscribe and also add your comments. I'd also like to acknowledge the lovely rendition of Beethoven's Opus 18th String Quartet by the Allegri String Quartet on the Vivat label.